The sermon for today, Sunday after, called Sexagesima, or the second Sunday before Lent. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear, by the Most Reverend John G. Calhoun, Jr. During the second week, I was at St. Vladimir's Seminary. The Archbishop of the Orthodox Church in America came to campus to ordain one man as a priest and another as a deacon. The ordinations came on the feast day of the saints to whom the seminary chapel is dedicated, the ones comparable to our own St. Andrew and St. Margaret of Scotland. The chapel is named for three heroes of the 4th century church, St. Basil the Great, St. Gregory the Theologian, and St. John Chrysostom. We recognize them too. There is a prayer attributed to Chrysostom in our morning and evening prayer. The three of them lived during the period after the Council of Nicaea, which formulated more or less what we recite every Sunday when we have communion as the Nicene Creed. The Nicene Creed did not win immediate widespread acceptance in the church. The doctrine that people had the hardest time buying was the one which says that God the Father and Jesus are both God in exactly the same way. The phrase, being of one substance with the Father, is what expresses that idea. When the ordination was over, the Archbishop called the newly ordained and their wives and children to the front of the church. He said that this was a great day for them and a great day for the church, which was recalling the faithfulness of the three teachers. But he warned them, don't think that they led a golden age, where everybody was happy to believe and practice all the right things. The truth about their lives is that hardly anybody paid any attention to anything they said. This morning's gospel is Jesus' parable of the sower. When Jesus gets done preaching the parable, his disciples come to him and say, "Would you please explain it to us?" It doesn't seem to me that the parable of the sower is one of the more difficult ones, but of course, we have the Holy Spirit to help us understand it, and the disciples did not have the Holy Spirit yet. In any event, Jesus tells them, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to the rest it comes by means of parables, so that they may look but not see, and listen but not understand. In other words, teaching in parables creates a separation between the people who get them and the people who don't. The disciples don't understand the parable right away, but they are at least willing to admit that they don't and come to Jesus for help. Other people listen to the parables and get nothing from them, not even the impulse to look for an explanation. The words Jesus uses in explaining that fact to the disciples come directly from the mouth of God, as he is quoted in the book of Isaiah. When God calls Isaiah to be a prophet, and Isaiah agrees to do it, the first thing God says, "Good, now you are going to devote your whole life to telling people things to which they will not listen, and that they won't even try to understand." Exactly what the Archbishop told the ordinance. Welcome to the ministry. Now, the idea that someone who preaches the Word of God is not necessarily going to be successful is, in fact, also the point of the parable itself. The sower in the parable scatters seed. He doesn't place seeds tidily in holes. He tries to make the seed go into places where it is likely to take root, but much of the seed is inevitably wasted. Jesus says that that is what preaching the Word of God is like. Some people hear, and then the devil snatches the Word away from them. Others get excited about God for a while, but when any sort of test comes along, they doubt God and fall away. Others have a more sustained relationship to God, but they let other considerations get in the way and never become fully serious. There is also a group which hears the word and pays attention. Most churchgoers hover between the last two categories. You can tell which category you are in by asking if you are doing even your minimal Christian duties as the prayer book sets them out. Do you come to church and bring your family to church every Sunday no matter what? Illness is the only valid excuse. Do you pray every day? Do you study the Bible every day? Do you try to get other people to come to church? Do you give the 10% of your income God requires? Do you try to measure everything you think and say and do by the standard of what Christ wants? Now, when you hear those requirements, if you are not living up to them, you will have excuses, and you may even imagine that God understands, and he accepts your excuses because you are a special case. Don't be so sure. Your excuses for not performing your Christian duties are your thorns. They are what Jesus calls the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, which keep you from getting serious about God. We are heading toward Lent. Lent is the time to figure out what your thorns are and try to take on some discipline which will help you get rid of them. God will help you do anything he asks you to do. If you don't do what God wants, it is not because he is unreasonable, it is because you don't want to do it. In Lent, we face that fact, and try to get serious. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And now, unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as his most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen. Amen.